Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The late Justice Ginsburg said January 6th is the date of ultimate significance. That's how Congress set this up in the statute they passed dealing with the 12th Amendment. So we followed that process, and at 4 a.m. on Thursday, January 7th, when we concluded our business on the floor, Vice President Biden became President-elect Biden. That's how the process plays out. Those of us who spoke against the unconstitutional way several states conducted their election were following the process, and we did nothing different than Democrats have done every time a Republican's been elected this century. In fact, our colleague who is sponsoring this resolution objected to on January 6, 2017.
That's Representative Jim Jordan laying out a little bit of the backstory behind how some of this contesting of this election has been done in the past, and what that means for how they've chosen to go about contesting it so far in the future. Here, there are certainly Republicans who are under fire for even considering contesting this election, and as we listen today to the testimony, the speeches of House members on both sides of the aisle. It does sound like there is a bit of revisionist history that is going on, and I don't remember which representative it was, but he said that Donald Trump was a walking impeachable offense. And I was like, well, you know, that explains a lot, because that's how you've treated it. He wakes up in the morning, puts his feet on the ground, and you're ready to impeach him for it. You know, is this situation different? I don't know. Let's ask Jeroy Murdoch. He's a Fox News contributor. He's with us each Wednesday. Jeroy, welcome back to the show. It's kind of a sad, dark day here for the United States in our history here, as we watch the House of Representatives debate their second impeachment of President Trump. What's your take on the events that have unfolded so far?
Annie, great to talk to you again. And it was a week ago about this moment that the riots were unfolding on Capitol Hill. I remember just before I got off the air with you, I had Fox News on in the background, and I saw people climbing through windows. And I said, if anyone there can hear my voice, turn around, get out of the building, and stand down. And of course, that's not what happened. And here we are. I think it's astonishing that we're facing now the second impeachment of President Donald J. Trump. No hearings, no opportunity for him and his people to present any exculpatory evidence, what have you. I'm also waiting for somebody to show us the segment of videotape or audio tape in which President Trump actually supposedly incites insurrection. You may recall the comment from Charlottesville, Virginia, the so-called very fine people comment, where he supposedly apologized and explained away white nationalism and neo-Nazis, even though he said that these people should be condemned totally, and they never play that part of it. But you've seen that tape over thousands of times. If there were anything President Trump said in the speech a week ago, where you encourage people to go in, attack the Capitol, beat up cops, engage in vandalism, threaten members of Congress, threaten U.S. senators, march onto the floor of the U.S. Senate, sit in the on the chair in the dais where the vice president sits to break ties. If he'd said anything along those lines, we would have seen that little piece of videotape over and over and over. It would have been a constant loop, and I think even a 2 or 3 year old child probably could recite the words he said. I've not seen that, and that leads me to believe that there were no such comments by President Trump. He didn't say anything of the sort. In fact, all he ever did say was that people should go to the Capitol peacefully and patriotically. And I don't know where the words either peacefully or patriotically suggest kicking in the doors, breaking glass, sitting down in Nancy Pelosi's chair, or doing any of the other completely inappropriate and criminal things for which people ought to be prosecuted, and I hope they will be. I think it's just yet another opportunity for the Democrats to kick President Trump in his teeth, which they've been doing since even before he was elected. And this seems to be pretty much the Democrats' favorite indoor activity these days. And here we are again.
DeRoy, I want to ask you about the precedent that this is setting. Of course, they're calling it a snap impeachment because it's happening so ridiculously fast, because it has to, of course. In the future, beyond even just these next couple of years, you know, if something comes up about Hunter Biden's laptop or any number of other things that Joe Biden's been suggested that he might be involved in, could the opposing party in 2 years just do the same thing? Yeah, and we're going to see this over and over?
You know, it could. I mean, this is the sort of recriminations and vengeance that you don't want to see in a constitutional republic with democratic elections. We should be above this. This is the kind of thing you'd expect to see somewhere in the third world, or not to be above the third world, in the fourth world, if there's such a thing. Normally, if you have an impeachment, it's for an actual high crime or misdemeanor, not giving a fiery speech that some people obviously overinterpreted and took too far and acted upon in a way that they shouldn't have. But you're right. If the House is run by Republicans, they could say, all right, well, we're just going to impeach Biden. We'll skip the hearings. We'll just bring it up 9 o'clock in the morning and have it passed by 3 or 4 p.m. This is the sort of precedent that they're setting right now. And, you know, maybe it doesn't even have to be based on an actual crime, just a policy disagreement or some comments people didn't like or something of the sort. You know, people want to debate. I think the one area where the president, I wish, had acted more quickly was he should have gone on television when he saw this happening, gone on TV immediately and said, stand down, turn around, get out of the Capitol. If you think you're doing me a favor or not, back off. It took him a while to do that, and that's a shame. But I don't see anything in that speech he did that incited a riot. And I conversely have heard people like Cory Booker saying, get in the face of some congressmen. Maxine Waters saying, if you see Trump supporters or Trump staffers, go up and confront them. You had people after the Minneapolis riots literally raising money. Kamala Harris, as a matter of fact, raising money to bail the rioters out of jail and get them back on the street. You had the Attorney General of Massachusetts saying, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but something along the lines of forests replenish themselves through fires. I guess that's what we're doing in this society now. I mean, these are awful, terrible comments at a time the country literally was burning coast to coast. And only now, after this horrific riot on Capitol Hill, now you're seeing the left coming out against political violence. They're very, very quiet during the George Floyd riots, as we had buildings burning, police precincts on fire, city halls being attacked, statues being torn down. They either stayed very quiet about this, or in fact, they spoke up to encourage it. So shame on them and their double standards.
We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch. He's a Fox News contributor, and he's a weekly guest with us here on the Annie Frye Show. DeRoy, you know, I get a lot of messages from listeners, and they want to know how I feel about a certain thing, or they want me to, you know, go on record. And they want to know where I stand on particular issues. And this has been one of the biggest floods of messages that I've gotten, is people want to know. It's important to know if I still support Donald Trump. It's also important to know if I will condemn Donald Trump for, you know, the words that he said or the rhetoric that he's used. And I think that if we continue to live in this black and white world of it's all or nothing, you know, everybody's just trying to score political points. I can go back and forth on both sides of the aisle and see how our rhetoric has deteriorated to just, it's just deplorable. We do not speak to each other in a way that is constructive in anything. It's all destructive. I'm curious, you know, my opinion is that Donald Trump's rhetoric, of course, did not help anything. He didn't do enough to stop what was going on once it started. And I think people were upset at that rally last week, but the vast majority of people who participated in that rally were also not in the Capitol building. But it's like I can put Donald Trump under that heat lamp, but he's not under that heat lamp alone. And if we don't address that, then it will always be, you know, we flip the record and we listen to this side for this 2 years or 4 years. We flip it back and listen to this side for 2 or 4 years. And it will only get worse. And I fear that these types of just immensely regrettable situations like last week will continue to happen. I'm curious if you think that there is a bipartisan concern that you have with our discourse, and if you think that it's going to lend to things getting worse over time.
Well, look, I think one thing that would help is consistency. So, for example, we saw your senator, Josh Hawley, who was one of the leaders in the Senate to raise objections to the electoral votes, I believe, primarily in Pennsylvania, but I think he was opposed to others. They want to cancel him, put him on a no-fly list, along with Ted Cruz. He had his book deal canceled, among other things. Go back just to 2005, after the election in between Bush and G.W. Bush and John Kerry. There were questions about the vote in Ohio, and Barbara Boxer, Democrat senator from California, and 31 House Democrats stood up, raised an objection, had a debate on this. The debate in the Senate resulted in one vote, only Boxer's in support of blocking the electors from Ohio, 74 against, and 31 in favor in the House, and 236, I think, against. So they stated their piece. They got their points out. They said they thought there was vote fraud, and, you know, God bless them for bringing this up. No repercussions, no attacks. Their campaign donations were not canceled. In fact, not only were their book contracts not canceled, Barbara Boxer had her fiction debut come out. A Time to Run was the name of the book she wrote. That came out a few months later. John Conyers, congressman of Michigan, had a book about the Ohio vote situation and his concerns about what he saw as vote fraud or voter suppression, what have you, in Ohio. That came out in about 5 months, actually May of 2005. And Dennis Kucinich, who also voted against the electors in Ohio, had a book of his come out just a few months after that. So a totally different story. So, you know, if we're going to ban, you can't go back in a time machine, obviously, but if the idea is that we're going to ban Josh Hawley's book deals, then we got to do this for any time Democrats raise questions about any electors. And if Barbara Boxer could have a book deal, then there's no reason Josh Hawley shouldn't. So we should have not double standards, but single standards. If the Democrats are concerned about political violence last week, then they should have spoken up against the tremendous coast-to-coast pageant of political violence we saw between the death of George Floyd. And it's even going on today. It's going on as we speak in Portland. I mean, if not last night, the night before. This still goes on and on. And the left kept their mouths really quiet about this until they saw that this was hurting them in the polls after the Democrat National Convention. There was not one mention whatsoever during the Democrat National Convention in August about all of the riots, Antifa actions, BLM, arson and looting. They had nothing to say about this. There's not a word about it in Kamala Harris's speech, not a word about it in Joe Biden's speech. I find that astonishing. It points to the double standard we have. And one way to avoid the kind of political recriminations you're talking about, we can have a lot more respect for each other on the left, on the right, in the middle, if we have one standard and we all speak out against political violence, speak out against chaos, whether it's coming from the right, the middle, or the left, and people on all sides of the spectrum denounce this sort of thing. If we at least can have that in common, it perhaps gives us a set of shared principles from which we can proceed constructively.
Yep, one can hope. DeRoy Murdoch, it's a pleasure to speak with you next week. Wednesday will be quite a day, and we look forward to having you back again soon.
Likewise. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
You as well. Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch right there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Jones is going to join us. I'm going to ask him about the Missouri inauguration and what is ahead for the state of Missouri with this new Congress or new General Assembly that has been sworn in, and what's in the future here? Is it, gosh, man, I could talk about what's going on in Illinois, and it's just like doomsday over there. So let's get a little update on what is taking place in the state of Missouri with Tim Jones in just a minute. Don't go away. More Annie Fry Show right around the corner. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Wednesday. Glad that you are with us this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We anticipate, if things go according to schedule, listen in to the House as they vote on impeachment of President Donald J. Trump again. And we will cover that for you. I don't know that it's going to take the whole hour. I don't know if it could be a, I don't know. We'll wait and see. And Katie is going to keep her ear to the ground to make sure that anything develops before then, that we bring you straight to it. Each Wednesday, we welcome Tim Jones onto the show.
Another great night for Donald Trump.
No collusion, no obstruction.
This is Armageddon.
You know, I brought you Outlander.
Brought to you by Arrowhead Building Supply.
So, Tim, yesterday or this week, I saw a beautiful inauguration in Jefferson City. Boy, that is a nice-looking Capitol building that has been completed there. And I was hoping that you could kind of give us the groundwork about what is going to be hitting the state of Missouri here from Jefferson City. What kind of big stories are coming out of there, and what should the people of Missouri expect?
Yeah, Annie, great to be with you again. Boy, Annie, it was 1 week ago today that I was on with you, and we did not yet know the extent of what was going to happen. I had just watched the first part of the day where Donald Trump addressed a peaceful assembly of patriots, and I had no clue what was coming next. As soon as I got off the air with you, is when the true, you know, Armageddon did break out, and it was a real shame. But Annie, what we saw yesterday in Jefferson City was how it's supposed to go, right? We saw the peaceful transfer of power. Now, it was the same governor retaking the reins, Governor Mike Parson, but there was a lot of brand new legislators there. We have term limits in Missouri, something perhaps other states should consider so you don't get career corrupt politicians at the helm, like in your favorite People's Republic of Illinois there. Sorry, had to mention that. But Annie, we saw a peaceful transfer of power, right? The old representatives, I'm an old representative, I guess. The ones who had termed out, Annie, they didn't do anything of, you know, there wasn't any incursions or insurrections or coups. There was a peaceful transfer of power from one administration, from one set of representatives, from one set of senators. All of our statewides were reelected. And that's how it's supposed to happen, right? And what Governor Parson did was, I thought, very succinctly laid out a good, positive, upbeat, optimistic vision for Missouri's future. Annie, I'm actually, coincidentally enough, I'm heading back from another state capital. I was in the great state of Tennessee earlier this week and in Nashville. And there's a lot of similarities between Tennessee and Missouri. There's a lot of good between both of them. There's some things I wish Missouri would do to emulate Tennessee. Perhaps that'll be part of some of the reforms we see coming out of some of the Missouri legislators this year. One thing that Missouri legislators, Annie, are talking about that Tennessee did, I think, 2 years ago, they moved aggressively forward in the volunteer state on education reform, something that has plagued and dogged those who want it, the proponents of Missouri, for decades. It plagued me as a representative, as a majority leader, as a Speaker of the House. We got some bills passed, and then Governor Nixon, the Democrat, vetoed them. He didn't care for choice for parents. And I'll tell you, Annie, I worked with Democrats to get those bills passed. I worked with folks in the Black Caucus to get those bills passed. We had bipartisan legislation on education reform that went to the governor's desk. We were so tickled because it was one of the first times in 10 or 15 years that it happened. And since then, Annie, there's been talk, there's been some effort, but not much has gotten across the finish line. I am very happy to report Speaker Rob Vescovo, good friend of mine for well over a decade, very committed constitutional conservative, devoted a lot of his time on the speaker's dais this week in his opening address to adoption and foster care reforms. And yes, good old fashioned educational choice for parents. And boy, Annie, If this is not the year to do it, if the wind is not at the backs of those who want more freedom in our educational system, I don't know when is going to be the time, because we've seen
how the old, decrepit, bumbling, stumbling education establishment fails when they have to be nimble, when they have to be creative, when they have to deal with things like a global pandemic. I don't know a whole lot of parents, even the ones with brilliant, bright kids. I'm blessed to have a couple. Thank God they take after their mother, that have done well enough through all of this. My daughters are doing great, Annie. They're doing fine, but I'm so blessed because they're smart kids. They tell me those stories. My girls are another thing they are that I'm not, is they're very empathetic, much more than me. They're much nicer than me. And they have said, Dad, some of these kids, like back in the spring, they weren't even showing up on the Zoom meetings, much less participating. What happens to those kids, Dad? I said, I don't know, girls. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. There's companies out there, Annie, that specialize in virtual education. They've been doing it for decades. And we should have the opportunity, parents should have the opportunity to choose those options for their kids. We had a great Supreme Court decision last year. Remember you and I talked about it back in the fall? The Espinoza case, that brave single mom out in Montana, she fought the power. She spoke truth to power, and she won all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. So, you know, Annie, in retrospect of thinking about what happened last week, we have to decide if we're going to be a nation of laws, but also one of constitutional conservatism or not. I think we were in a lot of the elections that happened. I think what we saw in the House races, where representatives in the House gained over nearly a dozen seats, people, we're still a center-right nation. Whatever you're hearing on the news this week, the onslaught against constitutional conservatives for the horrific actions of a few, I don't think that replaces what I think is still a large majority in this country that believe in smaller government, that believe in true choice, that believe in freedom and believe in liberty. And never more so could that be exemplified than in giving parents choice. So I was really happy to hear that. Other things they're working on, Annie, some more tax reform, some regulatory reform. You know, we have a supermajority. That's been glossed over this week by all the hate that's been directed at conservatives, again, for the horrific actions of a few that I have condemned along with every other conservative I know. But we have a supermajority of conservatives in the Missouri House and the Senate. There was no big blue wave in Missouri. All of our statewide, except for one, are Republicans. So they really have an opportunity to lead. And I'm gonna challenge them, along with a lot of people who are in my world of think tanks and you know, urging more reforms in government to do those reforms. They were given a mandate, and I hope they don't waste it, because Missouri could really leap forward this year in so many areas.
Speaker Tim Jones, you brought up a subject that I'm really glad that you did, because I have a lot of questions about. I think a lot of people do, especially in, you know, the era of COVID, which is education reform. Missouri is maybe going to be moving forward with that. You said Tennessee, maybe some other states. It's a national conversation at the state level. What does that look like, though, for the average parent who's listening? What would education reform do to somebody who's just sending their kids to school right now?
So, Ryan, it's a great question. There's a lot of things it could do. It depends on what bills proceed. There's a lot of options. We could expand charter schools in the state of Missouri. We could allow educational savings accounts. What the heck are those? We refer to them as ESAs a lot. It's like a health savings account, except for education. It allows you to use funds that otherwise you might be wasting, I think, on a failed poor public school, and use them to send your kids to either a charter school or another school of their choice. And you know what? There's a lot of ways that those bills can be written where the public schools will not lose any funding. It'll just make them compete. You know, these public schools, especially in these inner urban districts, although there's some in the rural areas that don't do so hot either, they don't have to worry about competition right now because there is none in Missouri. There's hardly any. There's very few charter schools. There's very few educational choice options. So education and savings accounts, expanding charter schools, open enrollment is another concept. You can look all these things up. They've done them in so many other states. You know who's done them maybe the best? The state of Florida. The state of Florida started incorporating these reforms under former Governor Jeb Bush. They continued them under Governor Rick Scott. They've continued them under Governor Ron DeSantis. And you know who has been most vocal in supporting those? Those people in failed inner urban school districts of minority background status. Hispanic Americans, predominantly in Florida, but also African Americans and others as well. You know why? Because they're the ones stuck in those horrible failing school districts only because of the zip code in which their kids were born. So it is, there has been a bipartisan movement of people of all shapes, colors, sizes, creeds, and codes in Florida that has moved that. Florida is known as one of the most aggressive, progressive, to borrow a term from the liberal left, states on education reform in the nation. And you know what? They've got the improved test scores to prove that the proof is in the pudding, and they've got those scores to prove it. So Missouri's really lagged behind. We've done some good things in litigation reform. We've done some labor reform. We've done tons of we've done tons of tax reform. We need to do more. We've done very little education reform. It's been one of the biggest failures that I think Missouri Republicans have had to deal with. I know many of them want to do it this year. They will be joined in a bipartisan fashion by many of their friends on the other side of the aisle, again, from some of those inner city worst performing districts in the country. So I think the time is right. Strike while the iron's hot.
So, Tim, before we let you go, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about local government, local state politics, local politics. And, you know, there's a circus going on in Washington, D.C. right now. It does have the majority of the nation's attention. But I see specifically the difference between just across the river, the way people are living in Missouri and the way people are living here in my home state of Illinois, passing a massive police reform bill today that is just tragic to our law enforcement in the state of Illinois. What do you need to know? What do you need to do? And how important is it for people listening to this station right now who are sick and tired of the way things are going to just get involved locally?
Annie, it's the best thing people can do to have an immediate positive impact on their families, their communities, on their region, and their state. You know, for a long time, for the past many decades, I think those who are of the constitutional conservative mindset, Republicans, libertarians, anybody on the center right side of the spectrum, they have focused heavily and done well in state legislatures. Look, Republicans control the large majority of state legislatures in this country. And guess what happened in the last election? They picked up more of them. The Democrats won zero. In fact, we won the Republicans won the state house and the state senate and the governor's office in New Hampshire. If you can do it in New Hampshire, you can do it in the state of Illinois, right? If they can do it up on the other left coast, known as the East Coast, you can do it here in the heartland. It's time to start turning back the tide. And the first place to start is on the local level. What am I talking about? Your city councils, your school boards, your fire boards, your water districts. There's all these little quasi-governmental and governmental agencies that are creatures, children of the state. And that's a great training ground. It's a great proving ground. It's a great testing ground. It's a great boot camp for those who would want to run for higher office someday. And it's where the policies get passed that affect you the most on the local level. Look, we are all, it seems in turn, horrified, entertained. You know, some days it's horrified, like last week. Some days it's entertained by this ridiculous political snap impeachment stunt. What's happening on Capitol Hill today has nothing to do with law and order. It has nothing to do with causation between what Donald Trump said in his rally last Wednesday morning and what happened later at the Capitol. As DeRoy Murdoch very accurately pointed out, I'd love to be an attorney defending Donald Trump on this, because the case would probably get thrown out of court immediately on a motion to dismiss, because there's zero causation. I went back and read Donald Trump's entire speech. The word riot wasn't in it. The word storm the Capitol wasn't in it. However, the words peaceful and patriotic were in it, and that's why they're not running that speech on CNN or MSDNC, like DeRoy pointed out. And so, you know, you can watch all that, or you can get involved and where you can make a real positive impact. And one of those places to do that is right away, right now, in your local governments. There's elections coming up in April. Maybe too late to sign up for those right now, but you can get involved. You can volunteer for a campaign. You can knock on doors. You can hand out literature. You can do phone banks. The power to the people is not just the power of the people is not just a cliche. It's where it truly resides. But it only will continue to reside there, not in the far off land of Nod of the authoritarian fascist capital, which is what it's going to become this year in Washington, D.C. It's in your local and state governments. And so I would urge people to get involved. The next elections are just right around the corner.
We'll be listening on Sunday evening to the Tim Jones Show, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Follow you on Twitter at Speaker Tim Jones. Tim, great to talk to you. Next Wednesday will be a doozy for sure. Stick around.
Absolutely for sure, Annie. We'll all be watching and listening to you. Thanks so much for all your coverage.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that very much. Let's take a quick break. I want to get some reaction from you. Give me a call, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. At 2 p.m., they are supposed to start engaging in the vote in the House, and we will carry some of that for you based on, you know, what does it sound like or what does it look like. If it looks good and it doesn't sound good, well, folks, this is radio. We won't air it. If it's an opportunity to hear history unfolding, we will. We'll take it because I think it's important that we do know what is taking place in our government, in our nation's capital, with, you know, the responsibility that we've bestowed upon our representatives. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute with your phone calls.
When we all want to talk about unity, I can't think of anything that would unify this country more if there was a big bipartisan vote in favor of impeachment. Every second that this president remains in office is a danger to this country and to the world. We have no idea what he is capable of doing, whether he'll pardon these terrorists, whether he will go to war. So I would urge all my colleagues on both sides to support this rule and the impeachment resolution.
So that's Representative McGovern saying he can't think of anything that would unify this country more than a bipartisan vote for impeachment. Well, you know, I could agree with the unification, at least of the Republican Party. If they are to go forward with this, you know, there's going to be some Republicans who are going to contribute to this. It's going to be a situation where you're going to have some people, you know, I know that Liz Cheney has been one of them. She's been called on to step down from her leadership post. She's the number three person in the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. We've heard of some senators discussing, Republican senators discussing potential support for the proceedings. I'm not sure how many of them would actually cast a ballot in favor of convicting President Trump. But if the Republican Party chooses to contribute to what is going on Capitol Hill right now, and they take Donald Trump off of the table for future conversations about who is going to lead this Republican Party, the biggest division that will exist in the Republican Party going forward right now is whether to go Trump or not. Is Donald Trump still the leader or not? And if this Congress, with the help of Republicans, takes that off of the table as a line in the sand piece of division between these two parties, there is going to be collateral damage in real part for the political careers of some of the people who participated in this. But I think that it would end up, you know, maybe I'm doing glass half full, which really isn't my style. So I think that there is a potential for Republican unity going forward. It's just an incredibly tragic way to get there. And I also will say that there are going to be people who will vote potentially for the impeachment of Donald Trump, whose political careers will be just fine. In the same capacity that I'm looking around in Missouri, I'm talking to people in Missouri, and I'm looking for anybody who supported Josh Hawley before, who actively voted for him, who supported his candidacy for the United States Senate, who is disheartened by what he has done in the last 2 weeks. If Josh Hawley serves his constituents without conflicting with the Constitution of the United States, which I don't believe he has, and I haven't heard anybody who's a constitutional scholar suggest that he has, if his constituents are happy and they vote for him again, it doesn't matter what the people in Southern California think about his actions. He will get reelected, and he will continue to serve. And that's the same thing that will happen for people who choose to cast a vote for impeachment for Donald Trump. If their constituents are in favor of that, when you say, how can these people get reelected? It's the constituency that is different. And again, I think that the majority of what is going on in Capitol Hill right now has a lot more to do with each individual political career of the person casting a vote one way or the other than it does the future of Donald Trump. Ryan, what do you think? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I mean, I think that that this is a gift to Republicans, and I can't believe they're squandering it. Because you're right, this means nothing as far as getting Donald Trump out of the office. We're talking about a difference of maybe 2 days. Like what's going to happen in 2 days that you need to get him out that much faster, especially if you're a Republican?
Well, the point is to make sure he can't run again.
Well, I think they have to do a separate resolution.
It's
even
included
if they convict
in this
him.
One. It's included.
Okay, so it's all bundled together. Gotcha. So I don't think that the Republicans should even think about anything other than what people are going to like. This should be a uniting vote for Republicans, and it was given to them. You know, if you're a Republican right now, there was deep division on whether you should stand with Trump because he's even more divisive than ever right now, or whether you should stand against him. This should be an easy one that everybody says, look, he's almost out of office. Let's not be stupid. Republicans just band together and get through the next week. It seems like a dumb decision that they're not doing that.
Yeah, I can understand why you would think that, but I do believe that there are people who are being immensely pressured to stand against Donald Trump. And if you live in a purple district, you're going to, what you do now is going to be your next campaign commercial. It's all about the campaign. It's all about the next campaign. And for Nancy Pelosi to force people to be on record about this is political collateral for her. So it's politics. Of course it's all politics. Certainly. Nobody is saving the Republic right now. Let's get to caller Mark here real quick before we get to a break. Mark, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just want to say that I listen to your show a lot. I think you're great. Some of the things you've said about faith have impacted me greatly. But I have to disagree with you on everything's going to be all right. Because I think that right now, you know, I put on my tinfoil hat or whatever you want to call it. I think the election was obviously there was fraud. We've got a two-tier justice system. As long as you're Antifa, you can riot. But if you know, and the other people that broke into the Capitol, they shouldn't have done that. There's no doubt about it. But the biggest problem I have is that I know people who won't believe their own eyes. I mean, basically my siblings and some of my cousins. I mean, you show them something, you know, and they won't believe it. I mean, we've reached 1984.
What kind of things do you show them that they won't believe?
Well, like a picture of a riot. You know, so here's a picture of a riot. Things are on fire, you know, on CNN. And then the people in back of it, you know, the people in front are saying, well, this is a peaceful protest. But it's obviously not a peaceful protest. But, but they agree. I mean, whatever CNN tells them, that's what they agree. I mean, they don't believe their own eyes. They don't think, you know, they process things through their emotions. Like Thomas Sowell said, you know, the problem isn't that Johnny can't read. The problem is Johnny can't think.
Mark, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I do appreciate you listening as well. I know there are a lot of people listening who feel that same way about it. And, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm going to reiterate this every opportunity I get. I respect that maybe you disagree with my position on it, but it's important for me to say, I think that the lasting impact on this election is what took place before Election Day. State legislatures in some states, in Pennsylvania, they rerouted around the state legislature to implement election rules and laws and procedures that grossly benefited Biden's side of the aisle. I am shocked at how many Republicans had successful campaigns and elections, and the presidential election went differently. I wish I could see with my eyes a judge ruling on the evidence that we have heard in front of cameras and in phone conversations that the Trump campaign says is so obvious. We haven't seen it yet. I can't go as far. I just haven't seen it. And I need to see it. Kind of a Thomas on this one. But I do know, the thing that I agree with you the most on what you just said there is the way we consume our media. People don't think. You can do that no matter what network you watch. If you want to let them do the thinking for you, they are eager to do so. I know I'm not taking some popular opinions here. It's just how I feel. And if I could lay out the evidence, if we could have a lawyer that could lay out the evidence in a court of law, that would be helpful. But until I see it, I can't hang my hat on that at night just because somebody told it to me. I think that there is an aggressive push to open up the floodgates of our voting system before the election happened in a lot of the states that are contested by the Trump campaign. But that ship sailed, and they weren't appropriately challenged ahead of time, and they were going to involve lengthy challenges, and it's just, here we are, which is, again, why I'm stressing so incredibly much to get involved in local politics. Be a poll watcher. Find someone you can support. Be somebody that somebody else can support and get involved. Because I'm not relying on our federal government to save the day. Never have. Never will. I will rely on you, though. Let's listen into the impeachment when we come back. Don't change the channel. Don't you dare change the channel. We'll be right back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.